is the will of God for him to be here. Obvious. And, give honor to all the ministers here today. And Brother McBaum had done a great job last night. And he spoke to my heart. And we come to be a blessing today. And we in challenging times. My friends are friends of truth. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Before I start today, I would like to tell you of a miracle the Lord done for me over a year ago. And I didn't really even ask him for it. Sometimes it's just benefits along the way he just gives you. Just, you know, it's like little perks on the job. I went to a doctor for something, and he said, I want to do an EKG on you, and he did. He said, you've had a heart attack. And he said, I want to send you to a specialist. And so I went. I'm very claustrophobic, very, very. And so that was a challenge to go. And we're believing tonight God's going to deliver me from that. It's if you've never had it or don't know what it's about, it's really, it's a tormenting spirit is what it is. And it's a thorn in the flesh, really. But anyhow, I went through 2 days of extensive tests. Stress tests and all different kinds of electrocardiogram tests, blood work, chest x-rays. And the doctor come back and showed me his test and had a main artery. It was totally blocked. And he said, I want to see you in a couple of weeks. And then he called back. He said, matter of fact, I need to see you in the morning. So I'm thinking it's pretty serious. So we went, and long story short, they took me in to do whatever they was going to do. And the doctor came out, took Sister Burbage in a little consultation room. He had his face in his hands. And she said, what's wrong? He said, that's just it. There ain't nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. So what about the clog? It's not there. So he's got the heart of a baby. And he put me on blood thinner medicine the day he was doing it because he was really, you know, you're really in a lot of danger here. And she said, what about the medicine? You don't need it. Said, when do you want to see me come back? He said, see me in 10 years. I don't know why God done it for me, but he done a miracle for me. We're thankful for it. He's still doing miracles. If you... in prayer today and tomorrow, if you would remember the Burbridge family, we need a miracle Friday. And it's just something that we've been dealing with our grandchildren and a situation. If you please would ask God to give the Burbridge family a great victory Friday, we appreciate it. We appreciate the accommodations. Everything is just beautiful and so comfortable. And, we are looking forward to Brother Jones and Brother Gross and Brother Lambeth and all the great hospitality. This church makes you feel so comfortable and so friendly to us. And I'm coming to you today in the name of the Lord. I've come to preach. And, you know, one thing I don't want to happen to me is I don't want my ministry to change as I get older unless God changes it. I want to stay consistent. Whether you can't please everybody. You just have to please God and let the rest of it fall where it may. Praise God. We're going to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 26. Read verses 1 through 5. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Verse 12, Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. Praise God. I want to talk to you for a little while today about overcoming the temptation to quit. This is as simple as it gets. You can be seated. Long story short here, Isaac inherited his father's wells. He was a very prosperous man. God had blessed him 100-fold in the same year. And the Philistines kept plugging his wells. These were the wells that his father blessed him with. And in those days, a good well was like striking gold. It just, without a good well, the land really was worthless. And for someone to tamper with your well or contaminate it or fill it in was really a very serious crime in those days. But every time that Isaac would clean out a well, they'd come by and stop it up again. And this happened several times, but he just kept digging and just kept working and believing and just didn't have no, seemed like no quit in him. Until finally they dug a well and they said, The Lord has made room for us. And the Philistines envied him and wanted him out of their country, out of their area. And I'm reminded of what Paul said, Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Paul is trying to say, don't quit. Keep trying. Quitters, we know, never win. They never accomplish anything. And you can't start out trying to live for God. You have to start out living for God. And it's not a thing that we try to see if we can do it or not. Of course, you can do it with the help of God. Amen. And so, in this Bible. This Bible is full of stories of men who were not quitters. Men that faced tremendous adversity and looked like they was going down for the last time. But the hand of the Lord appeared just out of nowhere and sent strength to them and encouragement to them. And one of those men happened to be Jeremiah. And he lived in a time that when preaching was not very popular. Truth was not very popular at all. He became a very frustrated preacher. And being pressed by the wicked. And he said, I'm not going to make mention of him no more, nor speak any more in his name. I'm just overwhelmed with, seems like nothing is going forward. We're not making any headway. But the Bible said, but his word was in my heart, like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And praise God. He said, I heard the defaming of many and fear on every side. All my familiars watched for my halting, he said. Peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. What they were saying is, we're betting that he's going to quit. There are people in this building today that I think I would stake my life on the fact that there's people in here today that will not quit. It doesn't matter. Put them in the fire, put them in the flood, put them in the water, put them wherever you want to put them, and they won't quit. They're just not going to quit. But there might be some people around here, around these non-quitters, that's a little weak. They've faced so many things, going through so many things, and overwhelmed. But the writer said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I got to get above my problems. I got to get on top of my problems. I got to look down at my problems and not up at my problems. He said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll put you above and not beneath. He said, I look into the hills from whence cometh my help. Praise God. Amen. And Jeremiah says, but the Lord is with me. That's one of the greatest advantages in a trial, is to know that the Lord is with you. To know that you're in the will of God. You haven't changed your convictions. You haven't changed where you go, what you believe. You're the same you've always been. And the Lord is with me. Praise God. As a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. Easy to read, but I'm telling you, God means it. God means every word of it. And finally, Jeremiah says, after going through all this, he says, sing. Just out of the middle of all this, he says, sing. You don't really think about Jeremiah as being a singer. Amen. But he says, sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God. Through the midst of all this, he said, the answer is, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. For he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the wicked. David said, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, there is power in singing. There is power in praise. Amen. When my heart is overwhelmed, when I said I'm not going to preach no more, when I said I'm just overcome with all this, then the Lord is with me, a mighty, terrible one. Sing, praise ye the Lord. Amen. If I could tell you today, sing, don't sink. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's power in holding on.
When you let go, I remember Elder Triplett saying, probably back in the early 80s here, he said, when you feel like you have no faith, then have hope until you have faith. Praise God. But there, when you let go of hope, amen, you've let go of your answer. There is power in holding on. Praise God. Amen. When Jacob wrestled with the angel, amen, there was power. I still got him. I still got a hold. I'm still not letting go. There is power in holding on. Praise God. As long as you hold on, the devil's got to hold off. Hold on. There's power. There's faith. There's courage in holding on. I haven't turned loose. Praise God. Thou which has showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me, everybody said up. He shall quicken me again and bring me up. Amen. I've been many times in living for God. Amen. You're going to be a little bit down, but he said, but he's going to quicken me again, just like he did before, just like he did 10 years ago, just like he did 20 years ago. He's going to quicken me again, and he's going to bring me up. Look up. Praise God. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. There's something inside of you that's willing. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak, but the spirit says, go on. The spirit says, try again. The spirit says, you're going to overcome. The Spirit says, be strong. Amen. The flesh is weak. Amen. But the Spirit is willing. I'm telling you, we're not serving a God that is a quitter, that's a double-minded, that backed off, that give up, that quit up. And all of His people, all of His men, amen, are not quitters. And inside of you, there is a Spirit, amen, that says, I am willing. I am willing to lift you up. I'm willing to put strength in you. I'm willing to help you overcome. I say, let's listen to the Spirit. The Spirit don't want to quit. How many times have you been facing something overwhelmed? Went somewhere to pray, really not expecting to feel anything. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, just out of nowhere, comes up on you and overwhelms you and picks you up, puts faith in you, makes you feel like this is going to be all right. God is with me. He's with me as a mighty, terrible one. And I'm going to, well, now I feel like singing. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Oh, praise God. Could I tell somebody it's going to be all right? Amen. The tree of life. It's going to bud again. It's going to blossom again. It's going to be fruitful again. Come on. Amen. But when the desire cometh, when the answer comes, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Stop. Stand. Rest. If you may, but don't quit. Don't quit. The man at the pool, one of the greatest examples in the Bible, the man at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years he'd been in that case. Every year, you know the story. An angel come at a certain season and troubled the water. Whoever was first. A lot of times that makes a difference. Who's first? He, long story short, he said, you know what? I've tried and tried to get in this pool. I know if I can get in there, I'll be made whole of whatever disease I have. He said, but while I'm coming, I haven't quit. I don't know how many years he'd been trying. He said, but while I'm coming, amen, you need to tell the Lord, Lord, I ain't got it yet. Amen, but while I'm coming, and when I get there, it's going to be there for me. While I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Praise God. Amen. I'm not quitting. I'm going to keep on coming. I've seen people, and you have. I just wonder, how much can they endure? How much can they take? How much can a man's mind endure? Amen. But the Spirit is willing. Amen. You're not a natural man. Amen. You're a spiritual man. You got the Holy Ghost. You got the Spirit of the living God inside of you. Hallelujah. Sometimes all we have to go on is a promise. Just a promise. Praise God. 12 men were chosen as spies to go out and spy out the promised land. Amen. And they come back, except for two, Joshua and Caleb, with a negative report. And they said, we saw giants and all this and that. And they discouraged the people, and the congregation wept and was discouraged and spoke of stoning them. Amen. The congregation, amen, was so discouraged. I'm telling you what, we don't need to hear about what we can't do or what God can't do. Amen, we need to hear about what God can do, what He has done, He can still do, and what He's doing now, He can do tomorrow. Praise God! So God got very upset and was going to destroy them all. But Moses pleaded for the people. According to His word, God changed His mind. But God says, because all those men which have seen My glory and My miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted Me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to My voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them provoke Me to see it. But My servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, hath followed Me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereto he went, and his seed shall possess it. What a promise! Moses dies at the age of 120 years old. But nothing is said about Caleb and his promise. It's all about Joshua. Caleb was there when the waters of Jordan were divided and the priests that bear the ark stood firm on dry ground. He was there when the city of Jericho was compassed and saw the walls fall down flat. He was there when Rahab the harlot and her family was saved alive. He was there when Achan and his family and possessions were stoned and burned for transgressing the covenant, taken of the accursed thing and put it among his own stuff. He was there when the sun and the moon stood still at the word of Joshua until they avenged themselves upon their enemies. Probably by this time he's possibly thinking, God is only thinking about Joshua. He has forgot about me. He's forgot about His promise to me. Amen. But Caleb was there when Joshua smote the 31 kings on the west side of Jordan. Caleb was there when Eleazar and Joshua distributed the inheritance of the 9.5 tribes. But nothing was said about Caleb's promise. Amen. Now at the age of 85 years old, he reminds Joshua that their brethren came back with an evil report. But I wholly followed the Lord. 45 years I have overcome the temptation to quit. 45 years I've saw all these miracles. Nothing has been said to me about my promise and my inheritance. Amen. But I just want you to know, Joshua, I have not quit. I have overcome the temptation to quit. And I still want my promise. Caleb was there when Moses set Joshua before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, laid his hands on him and gave him a charge. Moses put some of his honor upon Joshua being his successor, but nothing was said to Caleb. He's still there after 45 years. Amen. Nothing but a promise to go on. But I'll tell you right now, God don't break His promises. His promises are yea and amen to them that believe. I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it if you just keep believing. I've overcome the temptation to quit. There's nothing to quit for me. Caleb says this. He says, the Lord has kept me alive. There's been thousands and thousands of them died in that wilderness. But the Lord has kept me and His promise alive inside of me. Amen. These 45 years while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Amen. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in that day. My strength was then, even so my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. I haven't changed my convictions. I haven't changed my love for God. I haven't changed the way I live for God. Amen. The Lord has kept me alive. I'm not only alive physically, but I'm alive spiritually. He said, now therefore give me this mountain. I've waited all this time. I've overcome the temptation to quit. Now give me my mountain. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I kind of want to get to where I'm going. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a lot of us older preachers in here that we ain't changed nothing. We ain't changed our message. We ain't changed how we feel about the devil. We ain't compromised. Preach the same message we always preach. But we're living in a day when preachers, please help me. Preachers need encouragement in trying to preach life back into a lot of churches. Prayer meeting. Just bear with me. Prayer meetings have turned cold. Worship has turned cold. Enthusiasm has turned cold. Zeal has turned cold. The Spirit of God seems to have slipped away. Come on, preachers. We ought to say, that ain't happening where I preach. That ain't going to happen where I preach. Come on. We refuse to become hirelings. We refuse just to bow down to the spirit of compromise in this hour. It's half church or bust. Churches are struggling. Struggling. Jesus spoke to the pastor of the church in Sardis. He said, I know that thou hast a name or a reputation that thou livest, but you're dead. You're dead. Dead churches need dead pastors. Not where we're going, right? Praise God. Jesus said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. What he's saying to the pastor is, don't you let this church die. I'm telling you, preacher, don't you let this church die. I ain't talking to the organ player. I ain't talking to the guitar player. I ain't talking to the deacon. I'm talking to you, preacher, and don't you let this die. He said, now look, you've got a few names in Sardis that have not defiled their garments. So you're not in a hopeless situation. Concerning Sardis, one man said, we have met the enemy, and he is us. He is us. I believe we can have the kind of church we want to have. You're going to have devils all the time. You're going to have all kinds of spirits to fight all the time. Amen, but I'm telling you, God gave us the power, amen, to overcome. Don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Have church. Sardis had no specific enemies. There's no name calling listed. No liars listed. No Balaam or Jezebel listed. No deep secrets of Satan listed. No throne of Satan listed. We know of the seven churches the least about Sardis and their problems. But nevertheless, there's a strong rebuke. None more urgent than the one to this church. You're dying. You're dying. But not everybody's dying. Not everybody's coming late for prayer. Not everybody's sitting down on the worship service. Not everybody's quit shouting and singing. Not everybody's sitting on the preacher. Not everybody's quitting. The problem of this congregation in John's time was not with the Jews or the Roman Catholics or with the false prophecy, but solely with itself. Dead. Dead. Sleeping. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never hold this generation of young people with a dead, dried up church. You need to wake up, stand up, and shout up, and sing up, and get up. God is holding us pastors responsible for getting life back in the church if it's dying. And we're responsible for keeping it alive. Strengthen what remains. Not everybody's sleeping. Us as pastors are deeply involved in the life of our congregation. There were still some overcomers.
in Sardis. The Lord said to the pastor, hold fast. This ain't over yet. This ain't done yet. You got enough left there to start a fire. Don't waste your time on the dead. Preach to the living and start a fire. Preach to the living and start a fire and let it spread. And let it spread. Preach to the one. Encourage the prayer warriors. Encourage the worshipers. Encourage the faithful. And start a fire and let it spread. Let it get on fire. The potential for a comeback was great. He said, some are still trying. Praise God. Nothing. Pastors, I'm not a preacher's preacher. But I'm going to tell you from experience, nothing comes in our assemblies voluntarily except sin. No spirituality comes in our churches voluntarily. You don't, as the elder said, I had it in my notes, if you don't preach it, you don't get it. If you got a church that's not praying, it's because you ain't preaching about prayer. Say, well, I preached about it last month. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're going to preach about it every service until it starts happening. I'm telling you, you're not going to get it if you don't preach it. Say, my church is dead. It won't worship. Hey, man, preach on worship until they do it. Stay with it. Don't back up. Overcome that temptation to quit. Tell what they're not doing it. Keep preaching. Got to preach for everything. Praise God. Amen. We went to Middle Ridge. Next year will be our 30th year already. And it was dead. They preach out of the song books, sitting down. That's okay. It has its place. But if you got a hand clap, you have high church. But Brother Ronnie Smart come by 25 years ago. He kicked holes in the wall. There's a little girl sitting out there. She'd never been to an altar. Never had the Holy Ghost, never been baptized. He looked around and spotted her. He said, if you could have anything tonight that you want, what would it be? And she said, the Holy Ghost. We just got there. He said, well, just step out here. She steps out and she's as red faced as a tomato. This little girl was so backward and she still is today. She's got 4 kids and a husband in the church today. He said, now when I lay hands on you, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. I'm thinking, pack the bags. We're out of here. This. She's just standing there. He left her, just started walking around and preaching. Once in a while, he come back and said, now when I lay hands on you, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. And after about 10 minutes of that, he lays hands on her. And I'm telling you, the power of God hit her. And she went from one side of the building to the other, talking in tongues in front of God and everybody. But he was so positive. And I'm telling you, it takes positive preaching. And from that point, we broke down and tore down the walls. Nobody ever got the Holy Ghost in that church before. Praise God. Preachers, preach. Preach, preach. Tell us what God can do. Tell us what God's going to do. Jude said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which once delivered to the saints. Deliver it to the saints.
Deliver it to the saints. Give it to the saints. Preach it to the saints.
He said, strengthen the things. He didn't say people. He said things. Strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen the worship. Strengthen the prayer. Strengthen the faithfulness. Build a fire and let it spread. Hallelujah. The heartbeat and vision of God must be felt and seen through that pastor. If no vision, no zeal, so goes the church. God is holding us responsible for the spiritual condition of that church. You can blame it on the day. You can blame it on the hour. You can blame it on spirits. You can try to excuse yourself if you want to. But what the bottom line, the fine print is, we are still responsible for the spiritual condition of the assembly we're pastoring. If it's past reviving, move on. Don't die with it. Praise God. The man with the heartbeat of God will not let life grind to a halt. During times of trouble, we have to adjust. If it takes more prayer, it takes more prayer. If it takes more preaching, it takes more preaching. Whatever we're facing, we're going to adjust to it. We're going to adjust to it. Hey, amen. If it's going to take more preaching, we're going to preach more. Praise God. Amen. We're not just going to let the church grind to a halt. Amen. Because we're up against something that's big and powerful. It ain't bigger and powerful than God. It ain't bigger and powerful than preaching. It ain't bigger and powerful than the man of God. Don't give up because of uncertainty. God didn't call us to figure out the future. He's already got that figured out. Just because you can't see what's ahead doesn't mean you're in a hopeless situation. Quitting is never an option. Find a way forward. We can pass things sometimes too long. We talk about problems too much. Well, praise God. We end up discouraging the church sometimes more than we encourage it. Don't talk about the negative. Talk about the positive. Say, I've already preached about this. Preach it again. Encourage them. Lift them up. Praise God. Don't ever go to the pulpit and say, if this don't change, I'm leaving. That's stupid. That's just stupid. The whole church should just walk out right then. You'd be out in the parking lot in 10 seconds begging them back saying, I didn't mean it. You can't threaten people. You ain't worth that much. Praise God. Go to that. Somebody said something the other day where I was preaching. Talked about he's a hard man, hard preacher. I looked it up in the Bible. The only place they ever called Jesus, the man that ever called Jesus a hard man was a slothful man.
All right.
It ain't hard preaching. It's helpful preaching. It's rightful preaching. Praise God. Pastor church has become, it's become our life. It represents what we have been, who we are, and what we believe. A lot of churches have been overran because of the lack of authority in the pulpit. Praise God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel like in the last 10 years, there's a lot of soft preaching going on. You have to say nothing you don't want to. A lot of soft preaching. You know what? I'm not a camp meeting preacher, and I'm not looking for one. But if you're going to come this far, yes. Praise God. We need solid, strong, some teeth put into preaching. So when men go home, they ain't going home to a compromising spirit. Pray. Praise God. We have confidence in the life we have lived, in the message we have preached. It has always worked. It will continue to work. Job said, my prayer is pure. Also now behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation have preserved my spirit. Never give up. If you quit once, it becomes a habit. I'll tell you what, if a man walks out of the pulpit one time and says he ain't coming back on Tuesday night, and he misses one service and comes back, I'm telling you, he has tainted himself. People have lost courage in him, lost faith in him, lost confidence in him. You don't never walk off the job. I said, you don't never walk off the job. You go to that pulpit if you don't feel like it. Preach it if you don't feel like it. We got confidence in what God has done in the past. It's always too soon to quit. I'll tell you something. What are you going to do when sin walks right in your church and sits down in your pew and is supposed to be a saint? How are you going to deal with that? You're going to just let it sit there and excuse it? It's been here for a long time. He's a big tithe payer. She's a musician. Well, come on. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to step in that pulpit and preach against sin just like you always preach against it. Come, leave, whatever. We're not going to get comfortable with that. Praise God. Retreating symptoms are backing down, falling back, pulling out, resign, cave in, disengage. Those are symptoms of retreating from the message. Any of you pastors ever have 50 people walk out like overnight? Yep. Most of you have. You've been doing this very long. That don't change the message. That don't change the message. Praise God. It ain't easy. It ain't easy. You preach to somebody for 15, 20 years. I had a woman backslide. I preached to her 3,200 hours.
That's longer than a lawnmower will run. And they quit. You have days like that. That's going to happen. Don't focus on it. Act like that nothing happened. Just get up there and preach to those that's there. Encourage them. Say, man, we're having revival. The Spirit of God's in this house. Wasn't that a powerful prayer meeting? I don't care if it wasn't powerful. Say it was powerful anyhow. And the Lord will let you do it. Praise God. Amen. God is good. Amen. We're going to have church. Come on. We ain't going to let a handful of people dominate. Amen. The move of God. Fear is contagious. One of David's men, LZR, Bible said the Philistines were gathered to battle. The men of Israel were gone away, ran. But he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and clave under the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned only to the spoil. Sometimes you got to fight alone, but don't quit and run. There are people that will not stand with you when you're in a controversial situation in your church. They'll sit there and look at you, and then they're going to decide on whose side they're going to be on. They will not stand with you. They will not help you. Hey, but when you win, oh, they're on their feet. Hallelujah. What a great pastor we got. Amen. But they didn't have the guts to stand up 2 minutes. Let him fight it by himself. You need to quit that. You need to stand up and fight for your man of God. He fights for you. Again, the Philistines were gathered together. Where was a piece of ground full of lentils? Again, the people fled. One man, Shammah, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. And the Lord wrought a great victory. If your pastor's preaching in a conference, don't say, I'm not going because I'm afraid of what he might say. You don't, you're not with your man of God. Amen. You ought to be there. If you're in driving distance and he's preaching, you need to be there. You need to be on your feet. He said, that's my preacher. And I know he won't bow and he won't bend and he won't quit. The Bible said, in time of battle, the officer shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house. Let him go home. Lest his brother's heart faint as well as his heart. Compromise often starts with one and ends with the whole fellowship. It's amazing to me how one man can go AWOL and a whole fellowship follow him. That's craziness. When a man don't have no credibility. Compromise. Just let one man start it. And the whole fellowship goes with it. Somebody said today about the lines becoming so thin and narrow on us choosing our friends and fellowship. That's a crying shame. Somebody said if your friends' enemies becomes your enemy. Eventually, you'll be by yourself. Failure is temporary, but quitting is permanent. Elder, I got a little something here I wanted to say. And I wrote above it, reluctant to say this. I wrote that in my notes. Reluctant to say this. But Brother McMullen last night, he said, "You better say it." And that hit me. The problem with a lot of churches is in the pulpit. That's what I was reluctant to say. But God wanted me to say it, and I'm going to say it. The problem with a lot of churches is in the pulpit. There's hungry people out there. But they ain't getting fed because a man don't pray no more. The man don't study no more. The man's not spiritual no more. He's just carnal. He's a storyteller, not a Bible teacher. No wonder people look over the fence. A message several years ago, and I got a lot of backlash from it, but I meant it then and I mean it now. I preached about, "Oh Lord, my church is backslid. What shall I do?" I preached about Joseph getting his family out of Egypt. I said, "Bring them over here where they can, where I can nourish you." I'll tell you what. The only people that don't like this kind of preaching is the preacher I just described. The man that don't pray and he don't study. All he's worried about is filling his pockets with the tithe money. And he won't bring spiritual men in to preach. Well, praise the Lord. Whew, I'm glad I got rid of that. Feels a lot better. These men will not stand against immodesty. Holiness is still a big part of what we believe and what we preach. Dresses are getting shorter. Necklines are getting lower. Makeup on their faces, their hair's nipped. They shave their eyebrows and draw them in. Afraid to confront sin. They don't push for a move of God because really they don't want a spiritual church. They don't want to be challenged by praying people. They don't want to be challenged by worshiping. They don't want to be challenged to preach what they used to preach. Well, it's quiet, but it's the truth anyway. We have met the enemy, and he is us. Praise God. We are facing a generation that is addicted to and obsessed with entertainment. Why it's so much more important that we have spiritual services. People are pleasure-minded, addicted to entertainment. You just go anywhere you want to, and you look. I'll guarantee you 99% of the people you're around will have their face in their phone. There's no normal people left. You try to have a conversation with somebody, they're on their phone while you're trying to... some of the most happiest, peaceful days you'll have is when you forget and leave your phone at home.
Pressure is on to muzzle the pulpit.
Paul wrote, "Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth." Isaiah said, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." We're sick of hypocrites dancing in church. We're sick of fornicators playing music, dancing in the church. We're sick of it. We're tired of it. We're done with it.
Don't ever think sin is going to go away on its own without you being involved in it. Preaching it.
Best time to deal with it is right in the beginning. Right when it starts. But if you don't, it's going to grow and grow and grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. Adultery going on in churches. Wife swapping. The Amish call it key changing. Door key changing. They have their little men's meeting and they trade keys.
Praise God. We are tired. We are tired. I'll tell you what, there are people that are never going to change. You know what? You can be sick. They get.
They're half broken. They're not broken. They're half broken. Every revival, they got to pray through. Every special preacher comes by, they got to pray through. They can't live for God 20 days in a row. They're not broke. We had a horse one time. You get on it, it buck you off. You'd have to fight it. All day, at the end of the day, you could get on it and ride it anywhere. But when you got her out of the barn the next morning, it was the same thing over and over and over and over. We sold her for $50 for dog feed. She would not be broken. Only broken for a day. That's the way some people are at Pentecost. They're only broken for the camp meeting. They're only broken for the revival. As soon as revival's over, they're right back in their old ways. We're tired of you. I said, we're tired of you. Hypocrites and cold-hearted and double-minded people take up about 70% of our preaching. Let's turn that around and give the good saints 70% of our preaching. Woe to the rebellious children that take counsel but not of me, that they may add sin to sin. Praise God. Now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. We're not doing it. I said, we're not doing it. We're tired of you trying to put pressure on us. Amen. Just to patty cake you and pat you on the back and try to pick you up every revival. We're tired of you. You've been doing this for 20 years. You'll wear out a good preacher with your foolishness. He said, they say to the preacher, get you out of the way. We're going to have a vote on you. You ain't going to know it, but we're going to vote on you. We're tired of you. You're a loser. You've always been a loser. And you can vote all you want to. Amen, but you ain't moving the man of God. Go write it in a book. Get you out of the way. Turn aside. Out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't want this spiritual church. We want a carnal preacher and we want a carnal church. We just want to have fun. Praise God. Lift your hands above the Lord right now. We're not going to quit preaching. I was preaching one time, Brother Epley, my mother got up and walked out on me. Dad took her home and come back. He lived to be 97, got the Holy Ghost when he was 80. Mom, you ain't going to change the pulpit. Dad, you ain't going to change the message. Son and daughter, oh, grandchildren, you ain't going to change. We ain't going to get that grandpa spirit. You ain't going to cause us to compromise. We as preachers need to know that we got each other's backs. That we're praying for each other. Praise God. Somebody say, you know, you're just an old vinegar preacher. Let me tell you a little bit of something about vinegar. Vinegar is a surprisingly common ingredient in baked goods. Considering that it has a sharp flavor. But as an acid, vinegar is often included in cake and cookie batters. To react with baking soda and to start the chemical reaction needed to produce carbon dioxide and give those batters a lift. So that's what a little vinegar today is supposed to do to give us a little lift in our cake and cookies. Oh, praise God. I say, preach it. Preach it, preach it, preach it, keep preaching it. Don't back down from it. Let them call you what they want. Say, without my vinegar, you don't get no lift. Let's stand, lift our hands to the Lord today. Praise God.
We got just a little time.
I'd like for the pastors, just if you would please, just come up here. We're not going to pray for each other. Let's just come up here together and just pray and ask God to strengthen us, help us. There may be men in this building today that's facing very adverse situations. And we want you to know that we're with you. We're going to pray for you. Come on. If you're a pastor, would you come and help us pray? If they would give us a song. If you need special prayer, just let us know. And these men will be glad to pray for you. Come on. Maybe you want to reach out to somebody. Would some of you men want to come and help pray for the pastors? These men are the salt in your bread.
Best thing I ever found, and I'm still.